The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
We're getting you ready for the game on The Buildup with news from around the league, interviews, highlights, and more. Here's your host, Ted Ramey.
All right, everyone. We are getting ready for game four of the season. The San Jose Sharks taking on the Chicago Blackhawks. And to get into all of it, we are now joined by Curtis Pashelka, who covers the Sharks for Bay Area News Group. Curtis, what's going on, man? How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Ted. How are you?
Doing very well, man. Just waiting to see the Sharks follow through with a game and pick up that 2-point victory when all is said and done. Obviously, going into this game, there are some news items that we want to get into. But I have to ask you, how telling and or damning is it that the Sharks have only scored 2 goals without Macklin Celebrini in the lineup, whereas with him, they scored 4?
Yeah, I mean, obviously that's a major part of missing a guy like him, a guy who's even at this young age and even just making one game into his NHL career, he's such a driver of that team's offense, and you could just see it firsthand last Thursday in his NHL debut what he could potentially mean to this team. So, right now it's an adjustment for the Sharks. I mean, even though they made some additions in the offseason, they're still going to be searching for guys to put the puck in the net. And it's a little frustrating, I'm sure, for those guys that they haven't been able to click a little bit more, both at even strength and on the power play so far. So something to keep an eye on tonight as they try to move forward here and get that first win of the season.
I mean, my impression during the preseason was that they were going to have trouble scoring. Was that kind of the impression that you got?
Yeah, I mean, I always thought it was going to be a little bit better, obviously, from last year. But you're right, it was still going to be kind of an issue. I mean, once you get past the first maybe couple of lines, it's a bit of a question mark. It's a deep bottom six, but it's not necessarily a high scoring bottom six. You don't know what kind of offense plus you're going to get. Plus, there's always a question on the blue line: how much offense can you get from that group of players? Although I think they have high hopes for Jake Walman this year and his ability to score. So it is a bit of a question mark. And when you take a big player out of that mix, it becomes even more so. So it's something the Sharks are just going to have to adjust to and see if they can kind of create some more offense here as they finish the trip and look forward to next week as well.
We look back at that game one and they were not able to hold on against St. Louis, who I think, even though they did not make the playoffs last year, they were, I think, a 43 or 45 win team a year ago and probably better than their record would indicate. And I think they have higher hopes this year. But beyond that, the defense has actually been pretty decent. They've only given up 2 goals in back-to-back games. Both Vanecek and Blackwood have been pretty solid. And other than the third period against St. Louis, I thought that Blackwood was pretty good in that game. I think, like many goalies, he got chopped down. I mean, there's only so many blows you can take before you're finally going to get the breakthrough, and that pretty much happened in that first game. But, you know, on that other side, looking at the net minding, looking at the defense, what are your impressions through 3 games?
Well, I mean, you have to be impressed with the goaltending so far. You're right. I mean, it's a lot of shots to face. And I thought the Sharks, though, have done a better job so far, maybe cutting down on the grade A chances. I mean, I think you still see some of that here and there, throughout the first few games of the season. You know, Blackwood makes a huge stop on a breakaway by getting Dadonov on Tuesday night there. That helped the Sharks salvage at least a point out of that game, get it into overtime. So you have to be impressed with the way Blackwood and Vanecek have played thus far. On the defensive side, I think it's still a little bit of a work in progress. These guys are still getting used to know each other a little bit on the back end, but, you know, it seems clear at this point that, you know, guys like Walman and CeCe are sort of your top pair at this point, with Ruda and Ferraro kind of at that second level, and then Thrun and Benning as that third pair. I don't mind those pairs so much. I think it's just a matter of sort of finding some cohesiveness back there, getting used to the way new way of doing things under Ryan Warsawski, the new system he wants to play, and then also getting some help from your forward group as well in that sense. So still a bit of a work in progress for this team. I think we all knew that, but I think the further they go along here, the more they can kind of gel. And I know practice time is a bit limited for this team right now, but I think if they're confident that the more time they get to spend each other, that it'll start to come along here. But we'll see. A lot of tough tests coming up for this team for sure.
I think the interesting difference that I've noticed is the way they've spoken in the post game. Nico Sturm, if you'll recall, 2 years ago, spoke out after they lost their fifth straight to start the year, and everyone kind of said, oh wow, look at Nico, we didn't know that this was part of his game, the leadership quality. And he did it a couple times last year, but when he spoke after the second loss of the year falling to Anaheim, he specifically used the word positive, and I thought that was an interesting comparison or juxtaposition versus a year ago, when it was almost a sense of despondency when we would hear them speak after games, especially tough losses.
Yeah, it's a different mood, around the Sharks this year. It's not like last couple of seasons. I think the group kind of almost felt that they almost had to play a perfect game, to win at times. And that's kind of how it felt, at least from the outside. But this year, things are just a little bit, they're a little cleaner in their own zone, breaking out the puck. I know that's something that they focused on here earlier in the season, trying to get some clean breakouts, being a little bit more aggressive on the forecheck, trying to create turnovers, pressure the puck. And they have the personnel, more of the personnel to try to do that this year, whereas I think last year it was, very haphazard in the way they tried to play their game. So it is an improvement overall for, just staying more competitive in these games. The three losses are by, a combined four goals so far. You got a couple of points out of the mix. So, this is a team that's still finding its way a little bit, but you have to be encouraged at least that this is going to be a more competitive team, a harder team to play against, something I think that those guys have talked about, basically since the start of training camp, or really even since the summer, just wanting to be a hard team to play against. And early signs are that they'll be that, as long as they can, sort of stay to that identity and stay healthy too. This team can't afford too many more injuries. So as long as they can do that, I think they'll be a harder team to play against for most of the season, I think.
I've been curious to see people talking about Will Smith, quote unquote, struggling, whereas I've kind of thought to myself, he's played three games in the NHL. He's 19 years old. And I know that that's put against what we saw from Macklin in one game, but are you looking at it as a struggle, or is this simply the learning curve of figuring out how to play in the National Hockey League?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say that he's come up way short of expectations or anything like that. I mean, like you said, this is a 19-year-old guy playing his first professional season. To put him in a spot, I think to put him in a spot where he's a second line center right off the hop, that's going to be a tough task for anybody. You remember last year when William Eklund was asked to play as a second line center for a spell after, Tomas Hertl was traded, and with Logan Couture still out of the lineup, they put William Eklund in that spot, and it was a struggle for him. And he was, two, three years older than was what Will Smith is right now. And so it's a lot to ask for a young guy. I think for tonight's game, they have Will as a third line center, maybe take a little bit off his plate, and you're playing with a couple responsible players in Barkley Goodrow and Luke Cunningham tonight. So we'll see how that works for him. I think it's important for him to touch the puck and to feel the puck a little bit, get some more confidence with it. And, NHL competition, and sort of get some confidence going from that standpoint. But it's been a struggle. I think we all understand that. We understood that coming in, that there wasn't going to be a guy who's going to come in and light the league up right away, even though he had tremendous success as a freshman at BC last year. It was going to be a bit of a struggle for him. So it would be interesting to see, if the Sharks stay patient with him and want to help him develop it at this level. We'll see. If he continues to struggle, then the Sharks have a question to sort of answer there. But I think for right now, it's pretty much what the Sharks expected, and it's just a matter of giving him some confidence and telling him to just kind of be himself out there too.
I mean, I remember back when I was 15 years old and Patrick Marleau was only a couple years older than me and he was entering the league and he didn't get started with a bang either. And a lot of people wondered, but I think the difference there was that Patrick Marleau had a man's body. And that's not to say that Will Smith is not a quote unquote man, but he is not of the same physical capacity at the same age that Patrick Marleau was. I mean, Marleau was a rare specimen. And when he was drafted, he already looked like he was in his mid-20s and had the body to go with it, even though Will Smith is bigger than he was a year ago, that's just not where he is yet.
No, and that was a question some Sharks fans had last year when you look at who was drafted ahead of him in 2023, those top three spots. All those guys went to pro right away, went to the NHL right away. When you're talking about Bedard and Fantilli and Leo Carlson, and Sharks fans were wondering, well, why isn't our guy in the league right now? And Mike Greer was very frank in saying, listen, Neil, he's not really, can you handle the physical rigors of playing in the NHL as an 18-year-old? And I think the Sharks felt another year of school, help him mature physically, was going to do wonders for him. And I think Will has added, 5 to 10 pounds of muscle in the last year, and that's certainly helped him sort of deal with the level he's at right now. And yeah, Patrick Marleau was a specimen, like you said. He was, 17, 18 years old, and he was already 6'2" and over 200 pounds, and could fit into a NHL role right away, even though, like you said, it wasn't necessarily lighting up the league at that point at early in his career. So just some patience with Will and see what he can do here. And like I said, get him some confidence, I'm sure if he gets that first point, it would be a huge weight off his shoulders, and he can just start to play again.
You had a piece out just a little bit earlier today talking about Connor Bedard and eventually competing against Smacklin Celebrini. Obviously, it won't be tonight, but what did Mr. Bedard have to say?
Well, he was just impressed with how with Macklin's debut, kind of just said he wasn't, he didn't look out of place at all. He drove, he was happy with, well, not surprised to see him sort of drive the puck and play with the puck a little bit, play it at the speed he's sort of always played with, kind of thing. So he was impressed with Macklin Celebrini's debut. Talked about his first goal, Macklin's first goal. That spinorama play where he kind of ended up bouncing it off the Blues defenseman's skate and past the goalie there. That was kind of a crazy play that Bedard kind of remembered and liked seeing. So he also said, he looks forward to seeing playing against him hopefully soon here, at the end of the month when Chicago comes to San Jose on Halloween. That could be a time where we see those guys compete against each other at the NHL level. So that'll be fun. And those teams also play each other in March too. So yeah, I think overall Bernard was really impressed with what he saw from Macklin, and hopes to compete against him soon.
I mean, that's the thing, Curtis. We got one game of Macklin in which he completely lived up to the hype with a goal and an assist in his first period in the NHL. I mean, what was your reaction from that first game? And at that point, we didn't know an injury was really going to be dominating the narrative for the next couple of days and potentially weeks. But I mean, I admittedly got excited, and I'm usually a shocker for someone in broadcasting and journalism to be cynical, but usually I'm kind of like, pump the brakes, let's see. But for me, it was hard not to notice, like, yeah, there was nothing surprising about that because it was the same player that I saw when he was at the rookie face-off and at the development camp and in training camp, where he just every time he was on the ice, he kind of had that feeling like he was about to do something.
100%, and that was the most impressive part. It wasn't just one or two shifts to start the game. This is a guy who looked the part, throughout all three periods, and He was obviously on the number one power play unit and was on the top line with Tyler Toffoli and Willie Mecklen, and just looked ready for the moment. Didn't look intimidated by it. Didn't look overwhelmed by anything. Like you said, St. Louis is a good team. They're no patsy by any stretch of the imagination. They get their team that expects to compete for a playoff spot this year. So, yeah, I mean, that's it was really impressive to see what he did in that first game, and kind of left you kind of wanting more. I think a lot of Sharks fans are just saying, oh, I'm just excited to see what's next. So it's a little, have to be patient right now to kind of see how long it'll take for him to recover here from his injury. I think the Sharks are willing to be patient with him. Just want to make sure he's 100% before he's ready to go here. But yeah, it just, it was a really impressive debut. And, you know, I could go ranks right up there with some of the great debuts that we've seen in recent years, like guys like even kind of Connor Bedard last year, or going back to Connor McDavid a few years ago. It was kind of remind you of like game-breaking type player who could make something happen at any moment. So fun to see. And we'll see what happens here over the next couple of weeks if he can get back in the lineup.
The injury front is also a talking point for guys other than Macklin Celebrini. William Eklund is a game-time decision. What's the latest that you've heard on that?
Well, I think it's an upper body, something I guess that Ryan Rosowski was telling reporters today, and I guess yesterday as well, that, you know, it's a bit of a nagging situation for him. Maybe it's just a pain tolerance issue at this point. So we'll see. We'll see if the Sharks maybe just give him the night off to help him heal a little bit longer, maybe get ready for tomorrow's game in Winnipeg, or if they maybe give him, you know, feel he's ready to go tonight. And if he does, as long as he's not able, he doesn't have, there's no risk of him hurting it further, I think that's the way they'll go and let him dress tonight. But, you know, we'll see. I guess he you know, has to wait until he gets to the rink and how he feels and go from there. But yeah, another guy too. I mean, if you're already missing Macklin Celebrini, and you take an Eklund out of the lineup. We talked about the offense a little bit earlier. That's going to be tough for the Sharks to overcome if you're missing two of your top forwards like that. So we'll see what happens if he's in the lineup tonight, or he has to maybe miss a game or two. We'll see.
I would just think that because Chicago is a relatively beatable opponent, and I'm sure the Sharks are eager to have a better start than they did last year and 2 years ago, both of which, you know, five games losing streak 2 years ago. Last year, they got a point in game two, but then double-digit losing streak to start the year. They probably feel like this is an opportunity where they can get 2 points.
Yeah, I would think so. Although I think they're aware that Chicago is a much better team this year than they were last year. You look at the players that Chicago went out and got this offseason. You got some veterans in that lineup now, and the guys have won cups, and guys who've been around the league for a long time and know what to do. So, like you said, even though Chicago's not necessarily thought of as being a playoff team this year, they are a much better team this year, I think, than last year. And you know, they went into Edmonton and spanked the Oilers there a couple days ago, and, you know, had a, you know, 1-2, I think they're 1-2-1 right now. So not a pushover by any stretch, but, you know, I think the Sharks can, you know, get a lead early, maybe play with a bit of a lead for a long time, maybe get another strong effort from Vitek Vanacek tonight that they'll put themselves in a position to get 2 points and give Ryan Rosowski his first win as an NHL head coach as well.
Well, you know, Curtis, I think that we all had Edmonton at the bottom of the Pacific and Colorado at the bottom of the Central after the first week of the season, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I couldn't help but look at Tankathon, that website that has teams with the best lottery odds, and say, yeah, well, it wouldn't be something if Colorado or Edmonton win the lottery or something like that. Yeah, it's been a wacky start to this season. Some teams that you thought would struggle are playing really well, and some teams that you thought would be terrific right off the hop here have struggled. So yeah, it just goes to show that a lot of parity in this league, and confidence and momentum might count for something as well.
Well said, Curtis. I will let you go, but I appreciate your time as always, and I'll see you soon, all right?
You got it, Ted. Thank you.
Again, that is Curtis Pashelka, Bay Area News Group, joining us here on the Sharks Audio Network. Game time 5:30, pregame 5, Sharks and Blackhawks right here on the Sharks Audio Network, and I will see you all tomorrow morning on Morning Tide. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yen.